Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's July 17th, 2012, and we're going to pick up right where we left off yesterday. A few days ago, Jason Shippo and I had a 40-minute conversation with Mark Loy. He's a co-founder and chief communications officer for Answers in Genesis and the Creation Museum, which incidentally, there's a good chance we're going to take a busload to visit the Creation Museum in the coming weeks. More to say about that at the end of the program. Yesterday, Part 1's broadcast is archived at greatnewsradio.org, so log on and listen if you missed it yesterday. We'll begin Part 2 today as my co-host, Pastor Jason Shippo, will begin commenting and asking about dinosaurs to Mark.
I wanted to ask you about dinosaurs because when we came back from the museum, my wife and I had a rich conversation about how dinosaurs might be used culturally to indoctrinate our kids into the idea of evolution instead of allowing the creation view to be predominant. I mean, dinosaurs are cuddly. My son loves dinosaurs, big books on dinosaurs. And until we came to the museum, we never really knew that there was some good books out there that allowed us to teach our kids biblically about dinosaurs.
Well, you know, evolutionists who are very shrewd, I used to be an evolutionist, by the way, until, as I mentioned in a previous interview, that I heard a lecture from Dr. Duane Gish, who had his PhD from the University of Berkeley, one of the finest schools in the country, and he gave me a one-hour talk on the fossil record and showed me that things like dinosaurs are better explained by creation and not evolution. But evolutionists with young people probably use dinosaurs than any other topic to promote their worldview. That's why when you go up to the Field Museum, you see a stunning exhibit, including the famous T-Rex called Sue. And the evolutionists use dinosaurs in their marketing to get people to their museums, and of course they're presented with a naturalistic, not a supernaturalistic view of the universe. And so when we take dinosaurs and put them in our creation museum, my goodness, many of these evolutionists get up in arms, so much so that they blog about it, write about it, and even the New York Times covered our creation museum again recently because we are using dinosaurs in our billboard campaign to get people to tour the museum and find out how dinosaurs are better explained by the Bible. And so as you come through the museum, yes, you get a walk through history according to the Bible from the Bible's first book to the last book, Revelation. But along the way, we use dinosaurs as one of our main teaching tools. We explain where they came from. We offer ideas as to their disappearance. And we even present evidence that dinosaurs have been around recently, that they did not die out 65 million years ago in evolutionary history. We present the evidence here that a T-Rex bone was found in Montana a few years ago by an evolutionist. And if you opened up the bone, and they did, you see soft tissue in there and blood vessels. Now, this creature didn't die out 65 million years ago, because if it did, the interior of that T-Rex bone would have dried out by now. But here they are, and the best explanation is that dinosaur was around just a few hundred years ago or a few thousand years ago, because so much of what was inside its bone was preserved. So we present that in our creation museum. And by the way, we have several scientists on our staff full-time who have earned doctorate degrees, people like Dr. David Menton, who has designed some of our more recent exhibits. He has a PhD in biology from Brown University, which is an Ivy League school. We have someone who has an earned doctorate in astronomy, genetics, also in geology, and even a historian of science. So there's some brain power here. This is not just a museum where we present, you know, Bible stories and dioramas. We actually have hard evidence that people can study for themselves, including dinosaur eggs and dinosaur bones that we believe show that we can trust what the Bible says about Earth history.
And I don't want to put you on the spot, Mark, but didn't Darwin say in his book, at the end of his book, and I'm trying to access this in my brain, but I just can't, didn't he make a statement regarding evolution that if such and such and such was proven, that evolution would be disproven?
Yeah. By the way, I don't claim to be an academic on staff. I'm more of a spokesperson and bureaucrat here. But But I've studied, 40 years now, I've studied this topic of creation evolution, and Darwin admitted that he was going to have to wait for other people to find the so-called transitional forms between animals, because evolutionists believe that fish turned into amphibians, amphibians turned into reptiles. He was hoping that his hypothesis that he presented in Origin of Species would be proven by others through the fossil record. But, you know, here we are 160 years later after Origin of Species, and even evolutionists, many of them admit that the fossil record is very spotty. And we just flat out say you won't find a transitional form between fish and amphibian or amphibian to reptile because they don't exist. God created all the creatures as he said he did in Genesis chapter 1 and created them after their kind, meaning that these creatures would reproduce after their kind and they wouldn't be evolving one creature into another. Now, there might be some people listening right now who would say, well, what about these missing, these transitional forms like Archaeopteryx or Tiktaalik? Well, I'm not a scientist. I'm not going to go into, I can't go into detail about those, but I encourage people to go to that award-winning website of answersingenesis.org and type in some of those words like Lucy or Neanderthal man or Archaeopteryx or Tiktaalik and see for themselves that these are not transitional, that these are creatures who were created by God and are reproducing after their kind, and they are not turning into another creature.
One thing that made sense to me many years ago, and I guess I'm a product of the Answers in Genesis seminars that went around the country, and this might have been 30 or so years ago, but I remember a group, I think it might have even been Ken Ham many years ago, putting on an event, one of those gatherings, one of those teaching seminars at the Virginia Theater, and it just made sense to me. But he said, you know, before sin, Adam and Eve's sin, there wasn't death. And death was brought into the world by the sin of Adam and Eve, and what followed sin was death. And I've always thought about that because when people will say there's been billions and millions of years of this evolutionary process, and so there seemingly would have to have been death all those millions of years, but if death didn't enter into the world till sin, then it just always seemed, I don't know, I won't say simplistic to me, but we've not been around for hundreds and millions and billions of years, because if you take the younger Earth model and death entering the world after sin and that happening after Adam and Eve, I've always had a hard time trying to figure out how there could have been all these dinosaurs for millions and billions of years. Now, I know there, being in a university community, various points of view on young Earth, old Earth, but to me it seemed real simple that if death didn't enter into the creation, into the narrative of the biblical account until after Adam and Eve's sin, then we've not been around for billions of years.
Well, you've hit on one of the most important teaching points we have in the Creation Museum. Yes, we believe in a young Earth, and I didn't at one time. I accepted, you know, an Earth that's billions of years old, and I believed in evolution at one time. But when you look at the biblical text, God created in six 24-hour days. You know, just about every Hebrew expert will tell you that if you read Genesis, the word yom there, used with a number and used with the phrase morning and evening, those are 24-hour days. So there's no room in the Bible for a very, very old earth. Plus, as you said, you can't have death and suffering in a perfect Garden of Eden millions and years before Adam and Eve came along. It's just not there. It's death came as a result of Adam's sin. That's just very clear. Now then, people will say, well, maybe the Bible indicates that the earth is young, but what about these dating methods like potassium, argon, and rubidium, strontium? Well, we discussed that in the museum. We don't try to hide the fact that evolutionists use these dating methods to come up with a very, very old age of the earth. But we show in our museum and on our Answers in Genesis website that all dating methods have inherent assumptions built in. And these dating methods like potassium, argon, already are going to show an old earth because it's programmed to give the old ages. So we just encourage people to use their critical thinking skills, look at both sides of the issue, creation versus evolution, and we encourage people to use their Bibles as well. and using the reasoning capability that God has given us. And I think it's clear that the Genesis account of origins, of creation, and then a worldwide flood is accurate, and that the evolutionary naturalistic worldview is the wrong view.
So tell us, Mark, I'm chomping at the bit. I'd love to hear the story. How do you and Ken Ham and you said Mike Zoboth get together and you conceive a museum? Because in terms of the scope of what we see in the Christian evangelical landscape, there aren't any museums till you guys came along. And if there was, they were probably in somebody's shed and it wasn't done very well. But I'd love to hear how that came about, because it seems like something that's so left field that only God would put something like that on somebody's heart.
Yeah, we're not the only creation museum, as you noted. The others are relatively small, but there's a very good one in San Diego, California, in the city of Santee, which is a nice creationist museum. Ours happens to be the largest and the most high-tech, with the moving dinosaurs. We have a state-of-the-art planetarium. We have a special effects theater where, as you're sitting there and we talk about the flood of Noah, you get sprayed with water. And so there are elements here in this museum that resemble what you might see at a theme park. But we want this to be a fun experience for people and to be very experiential. Now, the three of us were working with our friends at the Institute for Creation Research in the West many 18 years or so ago, and with the blessing of its president, Henry Morris, we wanted to start a ministry that would be more directed at the layperson to equip them to have answers to defend our faith. And at the same time, we thought one way to do that would be to build a creationist museum. And we did our research some 18, 19 years ago and discovered that this area where the museum is now located, we're in northern Kentucky near Cincinnati, Ohio. Almost two-thirds of Americans could drive to this spot in one day. Chicago is 5 hours from here. St. Louis is six. I think your studios are maybe just a little bit more than a four-hour drive away. And so 190 million Americans and millions of Canadians can drive to the Cincinnati area in one day. So that's why we're here. Plus, we have the Cincinnati airport just two exits away. We do a lot of airline traveling, and so that airport was something of a magnet as well.
Mark, I'd love to ask you, since you mentioned the Creation Research Institute, how your ministry at Answers in Genesis and that ministry are maybe tied together, or the relationship between the two. We're going to have Jason Lyle on in a later program, and we would love to understand the relationship between the two ministries.
Yes, we are in some ways a cousin ministry of the Institute for Creation Research, which is now based in Dallas, Texas. When we opened our museum 5 years ago, we honored our friends at ICR. We said we stand on their shoulders. The pioneering research work of Henry Morris and John Morris and Dwayne Gish, they did the cutting-edge research 40, 50 years ago. And what we've been able to do is to take their research on creation and Noah's flood and Noah's Ark and popularize it, make it more accessible to the public. And so we have a good relationship with our friends at ICR. In fact, you have coming on your program, I think in the next few days or weeks, Dr. Jason Lyle, who is an astronomer with ICR, and we had the privilege of having him here on our staff for several years. And Dr. Lyle is the one responsible for the planetarium programs we have at the Creation Museum and helped us design our observatory, where we're now doing evening programs with some high-power telescopes. And so it's only because of the work of Henry Morris and Dwayne Gish and the others that we are in existence today and have this Creation Museum.
Mark, you mentioned the Creation Museum being fun and experiential, yet it's very spiritual, and I love the ending where you really give a salvation message. And I think, Jason, while you were there, I believe you thought somebody was coming to know the Lord. And
there was two people, because when you exit that, it's called The Last Adam, isn't it, Mark?
Yes, The Last Adam Theater.
Yeah, and I know that afterwards when you come out, there are some materials there that people can take, and I noticed that you guys had a few people, staff folks, who were waiting there to talk with people. What I noticed, though, is when that got done, and myself included and my wife, but there were multiple people. I would say that half the room had tears in their eyes. And two people, I saw some of your staff member take them aside, and I don't know if they were praying with them, and I didn't want to be intrusive there. But I loved that it ended with the gospel message. You weren't going to let people get out of the door and buy a cup of coffee and get an ice cream cone without hearing the gospel.
In fact, the most important room in the entire Creation Museum, and this is 75,000 square feet. This is a large museum, and it's so large that we're now telling people that when they buy the ticket, they can come back a second day at no charge because there's so much to see and do here. But one of the last parts of the museum is a theatrical movie called The Last Adam, where we tie the message of Christ into what happened in Genesis chapter 3 and the fall. And so it's a short film on the life of Christ, but very, very evangelistic. And the reason people are so receptive to that film is that as they've gone through the museum, they've had their questions answered about the Bible. Is it really God's Word? Has evolution shown that you don't have to trust the book of Genesis? Well, as we address those questions, including carbon dating and dinosaurs and Cain's wife, which for some reason is still a stumbling block for some people. But as we answer those questions, the people are far more receptive to listening to the gospel message in the New Testament. And that's why we see people leaving that Last Adam theater, becoming Christians, many of them perhaps being reconfirmed in their Christian faith. And that room there of about 60 or 70 seats as people watch a 15-minute film on the life of Christ is the crowning point of the entire museum experience, and that's why we opened the museum, to be evangelistic.
Mm. Well, Mark, both Jason and I wholeheartedly endorse the Creation Museum. We thoroughly enjoy it. It offers so much for the family, for an individual, for a Sunday school class, for a whole church to do an outing. And the food's there. You have a great cafeteria, a variety of food. I mean, there's so much there. So I want to close with a question, and then just what the future looks like. But do they go to the Answers in Genesis website, or does the Creation Museum also have its own website for directions?
Yeah, the Creation Museum had creationmuseum.org, but maybe the best thing to do is go to answersingenesis.org and find out about the entire ministry. And while there, they can click on the tab, which is very visible on the top of the homepage for the Creation Museum. That's the best place to start. And it'll give you an idea of the hotels that are in the area, how much of a drive it will be, the hours of operation, what's new at the museum. And we are going to be building, not here on this site, but about 40 miles away, a full-size Noah's Ark, which will be very, very evangelistic because, after all, the Ark of Noah was a vessel of salvation. And there's just so many things happening here on our campus with new exhibits opening up. And we just opened a 1,000-seat auditorium, so we're now doing special lectures and presentations here. Every day at the Creation Museum seems to be different than the one before.
Hmm. Now, listener, write this down, answersingenesis.org. Answersingenesis.org. Mark, in our closing couple minutes, because you've gone over the top, 40-plus minutes with us, why do you spend this kind of time? You have a busy schedule, a lot of demands on you, research, writing, the people you have to meet with, just holding down the fort, all the work you do. Why are you carving out this amount of time? So I'd like you to answer that. And then also, what's the future look like for the museum and Answers in Genesis?
The reason I get up every morning and make the 22-minute drive here, and I think Ken Ham would say the same thing, is that God is using biblical apologetics to change people's lives. Number one, it's a great way to share your faith, as you've seen here at the Creation Museum. We use creation evangelism so effectively to share our faith, and so people are coming to know the Lord through apologetics, meaning a defense of our faith. But also, we have a lot of young people, and I was one of them back in the 70s, where I was starting to doubt or question my faith because I was being told that you can't trust the Bible anymore in our modern scientific age. We see so many people coming here and getting equipped and more emboldened in their faith. Perhaps they were going through a crisis of faith as I was some 40 years ago. So we see Christians encouraged in their faith, built up in their faith, and on top of that, emboldened, meaning they're more likely now, as a result of coming to the Creation Museum, more likely to share their faith with others because they can answer some of those questions that might pop up in a witnessing situation. So the Creation Museum and the Ministry of Answers in Genesis exist to share God's words and to see lives changed and churches revitalized, knowing that they can stand on the authority of the Bible without embarrassment and without compromise.
Mm, Amen. AnswersInGenesis.org. Answers.
And that's also the place to find out, I'm sorry, and that's also the place to find out more about this full-scale Noah's Ark that we built out of wood south of Cincinnati, Ohio.
And it's not just an ark. I mean, there is going to be, isn't there going to be a first century village, an aviary? I mean, my wife and I looked at the map and we were just shocked by the breadth of this project.
Well, the Ark Encounter, the first phase, will be a full-size Noah's Ark. But over the years, and as God blesses financially, there will be a total of 9 attractions, including what a village may have looked like during the time of Noah. We'll also create a village of the around the time of Christ, a Tower of Babel, a petting zoo, a complex of rooms that could be rented out and for lectures to be held in, 9 themed attractions in what we're calling the Ark Encounter, which will be built halfway between Cincinnati, Ohio, and Lexington, Kentucky.
And if one of our Great Loose radio listeners maybe right now is being prompted by God to want to connect in financially with this ministry, would they just go to the website AnswersInGenesis.org and there would be a tab to click on?
Yeah, there's a donation tab when you go to AnswersInGenesis.org. And thank you for mentioning that, Mark and Jason. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Mark, for carving out this amount of time with us. And again, we highly recommend a visit to the Creation Museum. It's not too far away, everyone. Great accommodations, and it's a great trip and a great experience, and you'll have fun, and yet it's a spiritual foundational in your walk with the Lord. So thanks for being available, Mark.
And blessings to you. Thank you for coming to our museum and sharing it with so many others.
And we especially appreciate, I'm going to tell you, the 2-day ticket thing, because that was one of my wife's and I, we came for 1 day and we said, boy, we needed 2 days.
Yeah, we just instituted that a few weeks ago, so one ticket now is good for 2 days. And believe me, there's so much to see and do here that many people do come back for that second day.
Well, thank you again so much, Mark, for carving out this time and just for the ministry that you guys are doing there at Answers in Genesis, from the curriculum to the museum, in all the different facets. I think that people just don't see the breadth of what this is. And our hope is by this radio program that we can allow we have a lot of pastors who listen and allow them to see that there is a resource here that maybe they didn't even know existed, and they can connect into that.
Well, we thank you for your radio ministry, and thank you for this opportunity here. Hey, look me up, too. Next time you come this way, look me up. My extension is 450.
Okay. Hey, thanks, Mark.
All right.
Thank you,
Mark. Thanks, brothers.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Well, isn't Mark Loy a great guy, very knowledgeable and passionate about Genesis and the biblical roots of our faith? Hey, I'm taking names. I got about 15 yesterday that are interested in a bus trip to the Creation Museum. It's probably around $75. That's a break-even point because of the cost of the deluxe motor coach. If you're interested, call us at 217-367-7777. Now, tomorrow, Jason and I will talk about Genesis. And on Thursday and Friday, you'll hear from Dr. Jason Lyle on staff with the Institute of Creation Research. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.